I want to do something that I haven't really done before, which is to talk about the Sefirah Sa'omer, the counting of the Omer. So we find in Leviticus in chapter 23, God says to Moshe, saying, speak to the Jewish people and tell them, when you come into the land which I'm going to give you, I want you to cut its harvest, and I want you to bring an omer, which is the first of the harvest, to the Kohen. And the Kohen will wave this omer before God, liritzoinchem, for your sakes. Mimochros ha-Shabbos, the day after Shabbos, yinefenu ha-Kohen, the Kohen should wave it around. And you should make, on the day that you wave the omer, keves tomim ben shnosei, a one-year-old sheep, as a burnt offering. And the mincha, the flour offering that goes with this omer offering of the sheep, should be 2/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with oil, and it should be burned on the altar as an offering, as a fragrant offering to God. And the nesech, the wine offering, should be revius hahin, should be 1/4 of a hin. So everybody knows that when the Torah tells us that the Omer is brought after Shabbos, it really is talking about after Pesach. Mimacharas HaShabbos, in this context, the Gemara says, refers to after Pesach. How do we know this? So Gemara Menachos says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. This is how the chapter 23 begins. God says to Moshe, speak to the children of Israel and tell them, Moyadei Hashem asher tikra oisa mikrei kodesh, the festivals of God that you should call, that you should announce them as being sacred festivals, Elehem Moyadoi, these are my festivals, says God. Sheshes yomim teos emelocha, 6 days you should do work. On the seventh day, it's a rest day, Mikra Kodesh, it's called holy. Don't do any work. Shabbos ul Hashem, Shabbos hi, it's a Shabbos b'chomer shesem, all your dwellings. And then it continues in verse 4, Ele moyadei Hashem, these are the festivals of God, Mikra Kodesh. Asher tikraisim b'moyadim, these are the sacred festivals that they come in their order. B'chodesh Arishon, in the first month, on the 14th of the month in the evening, it's Pesach. And on the 15th, it's Chag HaMatzos. 7 days you should eat matzah. And then we get the Omer. So the Gemara says, from here you can see the fact, the way the chapter is structured. First, it begins with God announcing the festivals. These are the festivals, Moyadei Hashem, Elehem Moyadoi, God says, these are my festivals. And then it begins, Sheshes Yomim Ta'aseh Melacha, Yom Shishi Shabbos, 6 days you should work, and then it's Shabbos. So Shabbos is a festival, and festivals are a Shabbos. So when the Torah says, Mimochras HaShabbos, that you bring the Omer, this offering of the first of the barley, and you bring it the day after Shabbos, it means the day after Pesach. And I mean, this is one of the places where Judaism split, really. The Sadducees and those who insisted on taking the Torah out of the hands of the rabbis and, so to speak, putting it back into the original format, and they considered themselves fundamentalists and back to the original text, they would start counting the Omer after the first Shabbos after Pesach. And so, of course, Shavuos didn't work out on the 6th of Sivan, because it depended on the Shabbos, how many days there was the Shabbos after Pesach and so forth. I mean, it's a major split. But we listen to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim tell us it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. I mean, we know that you count the Omer after Yontif on Pesach. When it was over at night, they would go and they would start preparing the Omer right after the first night of Pesach, the first day of Pesach was over. But still, it's interesting that this mitzvah, this is the only mitzvah where Shabbos is Yontif and Yontif is Shabbos. We don't find another mitzvah like Sukkot or Shofar where it should talk about Shabbos as being crucial to the meaning of the Yontif. Again, you could say that Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosin, but the idea of the mitzvah being tied to both Yontif and Shabbos, the way the Omer is, we don't find another such thing. And I wanted to learn a little bit of the Nois Deshe. You know, in the last year we've been learning a lot. He was the son of the Ishbitzer. And I guess I'm very excited. I've only just come across him for the first time, and he lights up all the Ishbitzer Torah in a new way. One of the things that I wanted to look at here is he has some extensive Torah about this question. And some of the things, some of the ideas that he presents. Let's go to one aspect. First of all, we have, the Torah tells us that we bring, on the day that we bring the Omer, Keves Tomim Ben Shnosei Le'oilo, we bring a one-year-old sheep for a burnt offering. So Rashi says, this one-year-old sheep that was brought as a offering, as a burnt offering, has nothing to do with the musaf, the additional karbanot, the additional sacrifices that were offered with each of the festivals, because they are all mentioned in Parshas Pinchas as being the musaf, the additional. This particular karban, this particular sheep that was offered, had to be 1 year old for a reason, because it was specific to the Omer. It wasn't to do with the Yontif. It was Omer. And it had to be 1 year old because it was invoking the ram that came in the place of Yitzchak at the Akedah, which was 1 year old. And that if we're coming to do the mitzvah of Omer, we're going to need Yitzchak's help. Because Omer is a special mitzvah that is a metaphor for something that we don't usually try. We want to change not just the way we behave, it's not just we're trying to find a new way of working our life. We're really asking for salvation. We know that the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim, the coming out of Egypt, is salvation, right? I mean, we come out of exile. It's redemption. It's an exodus. But in a sense, that's just the beginning. God opens for us the light on Pesach, at the Seder, and there's a Gilui Shechina, there's a revelation of the Divine Presence, which is in each of us. But then immediately that yontif is over, it's gone. We're back in the dark. And that's why on this, we only say Hallel, we only say the whole Hallel the first day. In the diaspora, it's the first 2 days because we have two seders. But basically, the salvation, the singing of the Hallel, the revelation of the divine presence, it's just that one moment. Just to give us a taste. But really, what that means is that the light goes out, I'm in the dark, and now I'm really, I want to be saved. I really am trying for salvation. And that's the meaning of the Omer. If I really want salvation, I need to get hold of the Midah of Yitzchak. And you know, Midah of Yitzchak, his aspect of Avoda, the way that he worshipped God, is with Gevura. You know, Gevura gets a bad rap in the world. We all want to live in the world of Chesed. But let's have a look what the Zohar Kodesh says. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya in chapter 52 of Yeshaya, verse 10. It says, "Chosaf Hashem Zroya Kodesh le'eni kol agoyim." God uncovers His divine arm before the eyes of the nation, v'ro'u kol afse oretz, and all the corners of the world see es Yeshua selekenu, the salvation of the divine. See, there's another Gemara Megillah that says, ro'u kol afse oretz es Yeshua selekenu. When did the four corners of the world, the diaspora of the world, the spread outness? When did the world see Yeshua? So, okay, no, that was in the time of Mordechai and Esther. But there's an interesting Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh talks, it's one of the introductions to Parshas Pinchas. Everybody knows that Parshas Pinchas gets a huge treatment in the Zohar. But one of the things it says here, Rebbe Loz and Rebbe Chia are having a discussion. See, they're talking, he says, let me tell you what the Seder of the High Holy Days is. Pesach v'Omer, he opens, he says, Chosef Hashem Ezrei Kodesh, God revealed His holy arm. Dodro Yachado, this is a single arm. Debei Talyu Yeshua, that all salvation depends on this arm. Debei Talya Nukma, that all God's vengeance depends on this arm. Debei Talya Purkono, that all God's redemption and taking the person out of exile depends on this arm. V'lamo? Why? Lemekim lo leknesis Yisroel ma'afro, in order to raise the Shekhinah, that the Zohar doesn't refer to the Shekhinah as the Shekhinah, it always refers to as Knesset Yisroel. We are the Shekhinah. We, the assembly of Israel, are the Shekhinah. So in order to raise us from me'afro, from the dust, and to lekabla legabe, in order to bring us opposite Him, opposite God, face to face. Lizdavka kechada, in order to unite in a zivug, together. So God needs to use His left hand. When this left hand is unveiled, how much terror and awe and shrek there is in the world. Until this left hand, this left arm, gets put underneath her head, in order to hug her, Kamodat Oma, as it is written in the Song of Songs, Smoiloi Tachas Leroshi, his left hand is underneath my head. And so, as the left hand of God reaches round the Shekhinah, the Knesset Yisrael, to hug her, so the dinim, the judgments, start to quieten down, and the rest of this psicha talks about how Rosh Hashanah is the unveiling of this left hand, and as soon as the left hand is unveiled, all the judgments start to come awake, and the world is full of fear. And then, finally, on Yom Kippur, the left hand comes around to hug us, and we come to rest on the left hand, and then the world quietens down, and there's forgiveness in the world. And then, as Sukkos comes in, the right arm, V'imino et chapkeni, the right arm, so to speak, of God, which is the arm of Chesed, comes around and starts to caress the Jewish people, and that culminates in Simchas Torah, which is the moment of Zivug, the unification. So the Nois Desha, the son of the Ishbitzer, the reason I call him the son of the Ishbitzer, because he was a rabbi in the town of Biskvitz, and it's hard to say the Biskvitzer Rebbe, but that was actually the name of his town, Biskvitz. So the Biskvitzer Rebbe says that it's in Yitzchak, it's in the Gevurah, that all these salvations are embedded. And you know, when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we brought the Gemara where it talks about how God goes to Avraham when it's time to redeem us, and he goes to Yaakov when it's time to redeem us, and for one reason or another, you know, turns away from them and comes to Yitzchak. And then it's through Yitzchak's saying no to God that the redemption, the final redemption, comes about. Because in order for there to be the redemption, there has to be this tremendous revelation of the divine din, of the divine left arm. As it says, and he brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, God says, "Letzofa in teni." He says to the north wind, "Give, give." And we know that Sofoin is what is hidden. And the Afikoimen, when we eat the Afikoimen, that part of the Seder is called Sofoin. Because normally we translate Sofoin as being the north. And the north is that one direction from which the light never shines. The sun is never goes from the east, down into the south, up to the west. But if you have a window facing north, the sun doesn't shine in that window. So it's as though the light is hidden in the north, right? So God says, when God is instructing the world to bring forth his children, it says he will command all the winds from all the different directions to come and blow the diaspora back to Eretz Yisrael. Oimel et sofa in teni, and he will say to the north wind, give. Because it's in the north, in the hidden, that all the good things are hidden. And Yitzchak represents the hidden. Because we've been saying for a long time that for Avraham, God was obvious in the world. It was obvious that God is the master of the world. You see something, you see a city full, you know, full of people all lit up. You know, it's obviously didn't make itself. You say the city was, you know, there's nobody in charge. Who's taking out the garbage? Somebody's in charge. There's a government. There's a rule. This didn't just happen by osmosis. See, Avraham looks out into the world and he can see God, but Yitzchak, it's not like that for Yitzchak. You look out into the world and you can't see God. This is the world that we're living in today. We're living in the world of Yitzchak. You want to see God, you're going to have to look inside yourself. When I look inside myself, what do I see? I see Hershey. So, it's really, really hidden. And I'm afraid. And so, as in my fear, I come to the level of Pachad Yitzchak, which is the awareness of the hiddenness of God. And the fear that comes up, oi, I can't feel my own holiness. I can't feel my own neshama. Where have I gone? This is one of the three stories that Alexander Rabbi used to tell about the man who was very untidy, and he decided he was going to solve it. So when he got into bed and he finished just before he went to sleep, he took a little notebook and a pencil and he wrote, you know, my socks are in the bathroom and my shoes, or the left one's under the bed and the right one is outside with the door, and my trousers are, you know, in the closet, and so on and so on, and I'm in bed. Then he gets up in the morning and he takes the notebook and he starts looking for his stuff. He finds his socks, finds his shoes, finds his shirt and his hosen, and then finally gets to the bottom page and he says, and I'm in bed. And he looks and he's not there. So, you know, we talk about our neshama, our soul, as being divine and the divine presence, and being in the divine presence when I become aware of my soul, and then I look and then I don't see it. Where did it go? Who am I fooling? So if I want to do the work that needs to be done in the Omer, I need to get in touch with my fear of the loss of my soul. Oh, if somebody tells me, hey, you can't lose your soul, not if you're breathing and you're upright, it's still inside you somewhere, then why can't I feel it? How come I had a revelation on Pesach and then the next day it's gone? What happened to me? How come I've become so desensitized now that I'm not even in touch, that if you say to me, no, you can feel your divine soul, it's like, no. I'm at the level of Yitzchak where I really need Yitzchak. And so the Noiz Deisha says the whole meaning of Oimer and the Keves Ben Shono is that I really need to understand how much I need the Midah of Yitzchak, how much I need this Gevura in order to get the redemption that I really want after the redemption that I got on Pesach. And the redemption that I got on Pesach was just a glimpse of what I want. I want to get to Matan Torah. I want God to give me the Torah. Do I really feel like I want God to give me the Torah? I want to want God to give me the Torah. Oh. No. So then you're going to have to get in touch with something inside you. Rabbi Shalom, please uncover me, the Yitzchak. So he also brings that the offering, besides that burnt offering, there was two menchas, there was two meal offerings. Normally, with a musaf, if you have a look in the text, you'll find that there's a mincha. But here there were two minchas. There were two meal offerings. And again, the Noiz Deisha says, because usually when somebody brings a mincha, a meal offering, it's because they can't afford to bring an animal sacrifice. They can't afford an egel, a calf. They can't afford a goat. They can't afford two doves. You know what? Bring a meal offering. Yeah. couple of pounds of flour and a bottle of oil. So who's the ultimate? Who's the Oni? Well, we are. We're the poor people here, right? I mean, that's the meaning of this moment after Pesach, when we're trying to get back and trying to rediscover and recover that feeling of redemption and the revelation of the Gilui Shechina, the divine. So I'm standing here like a poor person, the Rabbeinu Shelam, you know. On Pesach, I felt like I could offer you all kinds of stuff, and here I am, Matzah Pesach, I'm really poor. And not just poor, I'm poor like Yitzchak. And so, again, he says the double mincha offering, the double meal offering, is again a reminder that who is the ultimate oni? Tfilah le'oni, ki yatoif. He says this is a remez, this is a hint at Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one who felt that he was poor. Not that he felt like he needed to get rich, but he was already the one who felt that he felt himself in a state of poverty, because he himself didn't feel that he had enough to offer. Because feeling poor is, of course, a state of mind. Because poor means you're not semeach b'chelkoi. You're not happy in your lot. And Yitzchak was never happy with himself, in the sense that he never felt that he was living up to his potential. He was always in this state of, I am the Shechina and I'm not enough. So therefore, Nisko Yain Revi Sahin, the Noyes Deshi goes on, so therefore the Torah tells us that even though there's two meal offerings, there's only one wine offering. Because it's not really a double. The Omer is not really a double. There's only one part of the Omer which is double, and that is your need to get in touch with the Yitzchak in you. You need to be accompanied by Yitzchak, and that doesn't mean the wine part. It means the poverty part. So let's go back here and look at the beginning, where it talks about Usfartem lechem mimachras haShabbos, and count for yourselves on the day after the Shabbos, Meyoim aviyachem is oimer atznufel, on the day that you bring this oimer, 7 weeks. As we were saying, the Gemara says mimachras haShabbos means Pesach. So how come this Yontiv is, how come Pesach is called Shabbos and Shabbos is called Pesach? So there's a Zoya Kurdish. The Zoya says on this Posuk, Ele Moyadei Hashem, these are the festivals of God, Mikroi Kodesh, that you should call holy, these are my Zoya. And then it says 6 days you should work, and the seventh is Shabbos. So he brings the verse in Genesis 3. It says, and God calls the day, God calls the light day, and he calls the dark night. And then it was evening and it was morning one day. So the Zohar Kodesh plays on these words. On the one hand, God calls the light day, so day equals light, right? On the other hand, it says, and it was evening and it was morning, day one. So the evening is also day. So how can you say that God only called the light day, and the darkness he called night, if you say that light and dark, day and night are different? We've got the verse that says, and it was evening, it was morning, day one. So what the Torah is telling us, the Zohar says, is that you can't have day unless you've got night as well. And you can't have night unless you have day as well. And when you have a night and a day, you have one. And he says, the meaning is that You have the sun, you have the moon. You have the Vav, which is the sun, which is Tiferes, and you have the Hay, which is the moon, which is Malchus. And the Vav Hay together is a day. So God and the Jewish people together, it's like day and night, right? God is light and we're dark, right? Or any light that we have, we only get from God. So we're like the moon. God's like the sun, Kavyoch, we're like the moon. And the Zohar Kodesh is saying that it's only if you have both together that you have one day. So that even though the Torah says God calls the daylight, the light, the oyer is called yoim, nevertheless, it qualifies it by saying, yeah, but you have to have an evening also. So it's only when God and us are one that God is one. That's the chiddush of the Zohar. It's only when God and the Jewish people is united that, so to speak, God is one, because there's the one and the one, and the one and the one equals one. In mathematics, it's not so, right? But in mysticism, one and one equals one, because that's how it is. And how does that play out? It plays out in the two kinds of holiness. There's the holiness of Shabbos, and there's the holiness of Yom Tov. The holiness of Shabbos, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You were born holy. You have a soul inside you, which is divine, which comes from God. It is God. It's the Shekhinah. It's Shabbos. You don't have to do anything in order to do anything. It's enough that it is. You can't make it greater and you can't make it smaller. You can't desecrate it. It just is what it is. And then there's the Kedusha, there's the holiness that we have, that we are, which is Yom Tov, which we make it happen. And the truth is that if not for the fact that we have inside us this holiness, which is the divine presence, which is Shabbos, which is, it's complete, it's whole. It's Vayichulu Hashemayim V'Horetz V'Chol Tzuvon. Heaven and earth and all their whole soul, done. It's finished, it's made, it's complete. That's what Shabbos is. And that's how you were made. And if not for that fact, you wouldn't be able to make Yom Tov. The ability that we have to create holiness, to make things holy, to make our world holy, to make our food, to make our homes, to make the time, to make Yom Tov, like Pesach just was. The ability that we have to make our body holy, that's called Kedushas Yom Tov. That is something that God says, hey, go ahead and do it. The fact that I can do it is because I'm Shabbos. So Shabbos and Yom Tov are tied together. You could say, why bother? If I'm already Shabbos, why bother with Yom Tov? And then always the Ishbitz has got the one answer, which is, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's true, you can't make holiness greater or smaller. It is what it is. It is what God made it. You can't make your own soul greater or smaller. It is what it is. But because Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants you to have pleasure, that's why he created the world, because his pleasure is giving you pleasure. What pleasure are you going to have from a ready-made thing? A thing that you haven't added to, you're not involved with, that you're not responsible for. So how much pleasure is there in just being given this gift and not having had the chance to do anything of your own. Gemara says, Udam roitze bekav shaloi mitisha kabim shel chaver. A person would rather have one measure of his own produce than nine that somebody gives him of theirs. And that's why the halacha is, you know, if I give somebody a box of apples to look after and then I disappear and he sees the apples are going rotten and he wants to know, should he sell them and give me the money when I finally arrive, or should he just let them rot? And the answer is, if there'll be a tenth left when I come back, better leave it, not sell it, even if there's only a tenth left, if it's going to go completely off. Okay, so sell it and give me the money. But otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't mind if 9/10 of it goes rotten, if I'm left with a few apples which I grew from my own tree, right? And that's how a person is. So Rabbeinu Shimon wants us to have that which we worked for, or at least that we have the illusion that we worked for. Or if we didn't even work for, at least that we wanted. And Rabbeinu Shimon would say, here, you know how it is with your child. Child wants to make something. Yeah, you give it a kit or something, and you know that if you leave him or her to their own devices, you know, they're going to get glue over themselves, over everything, and the thing is not going to be where. So you sit down with them and you help them, right? And afterwards they have this beautiful model that they made, which they feel that they made themselves, right? They can spend years with it hanging from the ceiling or stood on the mantelpiece and looking at it, and it's like, Gewalt, look, see what I made. And your pleasure as a parent is in empowering that child to do that. So this is Rabbeinu Shalom with us, the beginning of Shabbos and Yontif. I feel like I said enough. I want to bless you and me that we should find in ourselves the beginning of Yitzchak, the power, the Gevurah, to say no to ourselves when we need to say no to ourselves, and to say yes when we need to, and to make the right bargains with ourselves that we need to make, and to talk ourselves into the understanding of how much of ourselves is good versus how little of us is bad. And then with that koyach, to be able to find in ourselves the light of the Shekhinah that we had in Pesach, that we should be able to help it grow, to reveal itself inside us in time for Shavuos, where we'll be able to ask Rabbeinu Shalom, please give me the Torah, I really want it.